Isaiah 51, verse 3. Isaiah 51 and verse 3. The Bible says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." I want to preach just for a little while tonight on the word there in that verse, thanksgiving. You know, we're coming into the time of the year where we have the holiday Thanksgiving. And I'd have to say that that's probably one of my favorite holidays left, because the world hadn't bothered it a whole lot. There's not much merchandising you can get out of Thanksgiving besides turkeys are on sale, and I'm glad for that. So, not mad about that. But I got to thinking about Thanksgiving, that those of us who are saved by the grace of God, we ought to have an attitude of gratitude. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, an attitude of gratitude. We don't have to wait till November to be thankful, those of us that have been redeemed by the grace of God. We see here in Isaiah a promise to Israel that God would comfort them and bless her desert and waste places, and things would be back to the likeness of the Garden of Eden. I believe this is a prophecy of what will happen during the time of the millennial kingdom. But we that are saved, we're going to be there in that millennial kingdom to enjoy it too. It said there would be thanksgiving would be found, and I think it ought to be found in our lives right now. Because the very things that we're praising Him for then, we can praise Him for now. There won't be one thing we'll praise Him for in the millennial kingdom that we don't have a biblical right to praise Him for tonight even. There's going to be no new things to praise our Lord for. I think about how people have become so unthankful in our generation. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I'll just kind of quote a little bit of that. But it gives a list of how the things are going to be in the end times. Said there'd be traitors and there'd be people departing from the faith. And he said they would be unholy and they would be unthankful. And I'm telling you, that's where it seems like we've got in our day, even as the people of God. We've become unthankful for what the Lord's done for us. We get complacent and we get dry and dead and stale, and we just say, you know, I deserve. No, let me tell you, none of us deserved anything but to die and go to hell and spend eternity there forever. But I bless the day that the Lord came and visited me in conviction and drove me to Himself. I'm thankful for that. I don't deserve the breath I breathe. I don't deserve anything but hell. But God in His mercy and grace. So I want to give back some thanksgiving. I think that an unthankful spirit will be abounding in the last days. But I'm glad that we as a people of God, we don't have to be drugged around by this unthankful spirit. So I want us to look in the New Testament now. Let's look in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. The first thing I want us to look at is it is God's will and command for His people to be thankful. It's not an option. Thanksgiving is not an option for the people of God. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and He says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Then the Bible says, and just stay right there because I'm going to go through that verse and kind of break it down a little bit. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." I won't say that a lot of times, and I've asked God to help me with this in the last few months, whenever some problem or tragedy comes, I'm going to try in my own life, and if I advise somebody else, the first thing I'm going to tell them is to thank God for it. I heard about a man who told his daughter she lost her child. And she said, "Daddy, what do I need to do?" And he said, "Well, hon, the first thing you need to do is honestly thank God for it. You say, preacher, are you that crazy? No, I'm telling you, if we believe this Bible, He said in everything, give thanks. We ought to say the first thing when troubles come, though they're hard on us and though the licks are rough, we ought to say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I just want to say, I'm thanking You for this and I hope that You show me what You want me to see in it.
Right, amen.
He said, in everything, give thanks. Everybody says, what's the will of God for this or that? Well, the will of God for us is to give thanks in all things. That didn't say when the bills are paid and everybody's healthy and everything's going smooth. He said, hey, the world could do that. The biggest dopehead and drunkard and whore in Russellville could give thanks when everything's going good. But there's something about the people of God, that peace that passes all understanding. When the bottom falls out and the world says, surely that's going to knock them out of the box, I'm glad there's something on the inside of the redeemed that can give us a spirit of thanksgiving. Well, we can say, Lord, I bless You. I praise You. And even though things aren't good right now, I just want to give You thanks.
Amen.
We ought to be able to do that, and we can if we will. An attitude of gratitude. We saw there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, and whatsoever you do in word, whatever we do in word, we should do it with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. Our words should be that of thanksgiving. Whatever we say should be under a banner of thanksgiving to God. Oh, how thankful our words ought to be toward our God. Our speech is a great revealer of our heart.
Amen.
A lot of people says, if I know my heart, you don't want to know your heart and I don't want to know mine because it's above all things desperately wicked.
Amen.
But our words, what we talk about, what we say is a revealer of the heart. And the people of God, our words, He said everything we do in word ought to be done with a thanksgiving. We ought to have words of praise. I know a lot of people. I tell you what, I've noticed even about the drought we had. I'll say to somebody, boy, the Lord's blessed us and give us some good rain. Well, it ain't enough. We still need a lot more. Your words are unthankful. We ought to have a thankful word about us to the blessings that God has bestowed upon us.
Amen.
He said, whatever you do in your words, our words should not be words of unthankfulness. They ought to be words of thanksgiving. How are you feeling today? Well, I don't feel as good as I did when I was 20. Well, you didn't expect that, did you? You ought to say, I'm feeling good for my age, and the Lord's been good.
Amen.
Unthankful words. Our words reveal our heart. If all I talk about is things of the world and ungodly things, then I'm an ungodly man in my heart. If I'm talking about the things of God and that's what I desire to talk about and praise Him, then that means that's what's in my heart.
Right. Amen.
You can see what's in people's heart by what comes out of this mouth. And He said, whatever you do in word, let it be done with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, and that's what we ought to do. Then He said, not only whatsoever you do in word, but He says, or deed. We don't know we need thanksgiving with our mouth, but we need thanksgiving with our lives. We need thanks living. See, there's thanksgiving with your mouth, but our life, we ought to live in a way that they can look at us and say, those people are saved by the grace of God, and they are living a thanks-living life. They're living in a way that I can tell that they're thankful for what God has done for them. We must not only give it in our speech, but in our lives. Our life as a Christian should be one that when others look at us, they can tell that we are a thankful people. A Christian who is cold and living a carnal, worldly life is not thankful that he's saved. You think about that. If you are living, now we're talking about whatever we do in word or deed, when you are a saved person who's living carnal and worldly and ungodly and living out here in sin, you're not having a life of thanks living. You're no more being thankful that you're saved. If you were, you'd be faithful to the house of God. You'd hate sin. You'd want to read your Bible and pray. You'd want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Are you thanks living? That's a daily thing that the Christian ought to do. We ought to live in the way that we're showing this world we're thankful that we're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
How are you living? Do you really think that the way you live, where you go and how you conduct yourself, are you living a life of thanks living? Are you living a life of unthankfulness? That's a question we all need to answer. Every time I preach to y'all now, I'm preaching to Chad first, so you just remember that. Amen. That's where it's got to start. I've got some good sermons. I just hadn't got them right in my heart, so I can't preach them to you yet. But Lord, help me to get there, and I can preach them then. So our words and deeds, He said, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our words and deeds must be done, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, by giving thanks unto God. You and I as Christians are bound daily to offer praise and singing and thanksgiving. See, that has to do with singing there too, in that verse when it talks about giving thanks to God. It has to do with singing praises to His name. And we must offer it through our high priest and mediator, Jesus Christ. No thanksgiving can be sweet to God unless it comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. See, in the Old Testament economy, when they brought those offerings to the tabernacle or the temple, those Jews would bring them and those high priests would offer them on their behalf. And I want to say that when we offer this deed and word of thanksgiving, we're not doing it to say, look at us and what we've done, or Lord, look at what I am. No, we're offering it through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're offering it. And that's the only way God will be satisfied with the offering of thanksgiving is if we're doing it through His Son's name, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are to give thanks. When we assemble and sing, we should sing with all our heart and might. The song service should be filled with holy joy and worship as we sing together with a heart full of thanksgiving. Some are afraid of joy and emotions, but God wants us to rejoice in the Lord and have a thankful heart and be thankful to Him.
Amen.
We had a good service down at New Testament Baptist Church Friday night. I told some of the brethren, I said, if we could have just came for the congregational singing and went home, I'd been well blessed. You can't beat when the people of God meet and the whole church is singing from their hearts. And why are we singing? It's because we're thankful that we've been saved and that God has blessed us.
Amen.
You'll never find a thankful heart that wouldn't sing praises to the Lord.
Amen.
If song service is boring to you, you need to say, Lord, help me to get thankful once again so I can sing praises unto Your name. Now, that was the first point. It is God's will and command for us to give thanks. So secondly, you might say, well, preacher, I've had a rough year and a rough life. Some people's had a rough life. I don't even bother asking them how they're doing. I know. Every time. Ain't too good. It's always bad. We just remember that anything above hell is a bonus.
Yep.
Then we're all doing pretty good.
Amen.
Anything above the lake of fire has been a bonus to this old sinner.
Yeah.
So what are some things in the Scripture, and I'm going to try to hurry, that we should praise Him and give thanksgiving for? The very first thing that comes to my mind that I ought to be thankful for tonight is the salvation of my soul. I look in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn, I've got about three or four scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. He says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift is salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. That gift that God gave us in His Son, it's an unspeakable gift. I mean, somebody gives you some kind of expensive gift and it almost might leave you speechless. You say, man, I can't believe that you would give me something like that. Well, far greater gift than anything that man could give us is that unspeakable gift that we got when God saved our never-dying soul and wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life and washed all of our sins away.
Amen.
It's an unspeakable gift. And He said to give thanks for it. Amen. Then He said in Colossians 1, 12 through 14, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, we ought to be thankful, church, that the Lord gave us forgiveness and redemption. He said, giving thanks unto God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Hey, I want to say the Bible tells us, said that we've got an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. I'm glad nobody else can take the inheritance that I've got reserved in heaven. I'm glad to know that what I've got, this world can't take it. The devil can't get it. I can't lose it because it's not mine to lose. That inheritance I have is in Jesus Christ, and it's reserved for me in heaven. And I just want to say, thank the Lord, bless the Lord, that my inheritance is secure in heaven. He said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Those of you who are here under my voice that are not saved, I'm going to tell you what, you're bound by the powers of darkness. Oh, you might say, preacher, I'm a good moral person. I don't know how moral you are because you are in darkness. You're bound by darkness. I've heard people say, I don't want nothing to do with that old-time straight-line salvation. It's too binding. No, I'm free tonight. I'm a free man. I've been set free by the grace of God. And you that are not saved, you're bound up in darkness. And that darkness will take you to a devil's hell one day. And you're going to burn forever. You better hear that.
Amen.
But all those of us that are saved, the power of darkness has no power on me anymore. I don't fear the devil. I respect him. But the Bible says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I know the Holy Ghost that dwells in me is greater than the devil.
Amen.
And I'm going to give thanks for it. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight. Redeemed, redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's a glorious thought. Let's turn to Psalms 103. Talking about being thankful for that I'm saved. A lot of people say, what do you mean you're saved? You're saved? What are you saved from? I know what I'm saved from and what I'm saved unto.
Amen.
And that just about gets me more than I can stand sometimes. Not what I've been saved from only, Brother Joe, but what we got coming on that we were saved unto.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen. I'm thankful for the salvation of our souls. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and half that is within me. A quarter if I feel like it, and maybe none if I'm mad. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Now, in our day, we think about when we take a job, somebody says, what about the benefits? Do they have insurance? Do they have retirement? Do they have sick pay? Do they have vacation pay? But I won't say that the benefit package that came when I got saved, I didn't know a half of it. If I had, I wouldn't have known how to even accept it all. But you think about the benefits of being in the family of God. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been put in the Lord's church. We have the Word of God. We've got peace now and the promise of heaven when we die. The benefits are out of this world. I'm telling you, I don't even know all my benefits that I have in Christ Jesus. But I know that they're good and I like the ones that I do know about. Now I'm praising Him for saving my soul here. He said in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So the first thing I wanted to give thanks for is the salvation of our soul. He said He forgive all of our iniquities. When you got saved by the grace of God, He didn't just say, well, I'm going to forgive half of them or part of them. He washed all of our sins away. Every sin that this old sinner had was plunged in that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. He forgave all my iniquities. And I just want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad He did that for me.
Amen.
Sure not upset about it.
Right.
And not only the first thing we're to thank Him for would be our salvation, His salvation that He gave us. But secondly, not only did He save our soul, but look in verse 4. He also saved this life here from destruction. He said, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." See, not only was my soul saved, Brother Mark, but also this life has been saved. That's why I rejoice, and if somebody truly gets saved at 80, I'll get happy about it. But I really rejoice when I see a young person truly get born again into the family of God. Because that's not only a soul saved, but that's a whole life that's been salvaged.
Amen.
A lot of people want a salvation that make them feel good and make them feel like, oh, I've got that out of the way and now I can go back out in the world and live ungodly. I'm telling you, if you've been saved, what have you been saved from?
Amen.
The world doesn't have the same appeal, Miss Elsie, that it had before I got saved. There's a new creature in Christ that's on the inside, and things of the world are going to grow strangely dim to the child of God. He saved my life from destruction. I look around and I go by Walmart or somewhere and I'll see people who I went to school with. How you doing, Chad? Doing all right. They're on their third or fourth marriage. They filed bankruptcy 2 or 3 times. They're covered in tattoos and they've had drug problems and they just look like the world. And I walk away from them not thinking nothing of me, but I just say, Lord, I just want to bless You that You saved my soul from hell, but You also saved my life from destruction. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, I could be in divorce court. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be in the world tonight. But by His grace, I'm in His church preaching and my family's together. And I want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
This life has been saved from destruction. I'm telling you, sin will cause your life to self-destruct. Sin, when it is finished. See, we're going to still die because sin's hurt this body. Even if you're saved, it's still going to go the way of the grave if the rapture doesn't take place. You ought to bless Him for saving your soul from hell and sin, but your life from destruction.
Amen.
It's in us. You wasn't any more depraved than this man. Total depravity is equal.
Right.
Now, the point of decay might be different for some. You say, now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, some people live a pretty decently moral life and die and go to hell. They were depraved. Some people, the point of decay, they get more involved, but they both were as capable of getting there just like anybody else because our depravity is that bad. But He saved our soul, but He also has redeemed my life.
Amen.
And give me a life worth living. I know 4 people that I know personally that are going through a divorce this year. And I just want to praise Him tonight that He helped me and Micah make it 1 more year. You say, well, my marriage is so strong, I wouldn't go bragging too much.
Right.
Ain't any marriage in here that's not too strong, the devil couldn't get it.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
So He saved my soul from hell and destruction, but my life also. Then another thing I thought we ought to be thankful for, look in the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 4. I'll try to find that book. That one hides out between Hebrews all the time there, doesn't it? One chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, I'll say in verse 4, I think another thing I know we ought to be thankful for is our brothers and sisters in Christ and our family. Philemon 1:4, he said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Then we see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, I thank God. There's that word think again. Whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, be mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See, Paul said there, he said, I thank my God whom I remember you in prayer. He said, I'm thankful for you, Timothy. Ephesians 1:16, we see these words. We ought to be thankful for each other. I know we don't always agree. I don't always agree with what you do, and you might not always agree with what I do. But if there ever comes a time when you don't have love for the brethren, you just mark her down. Your prayers are not getting any higher than the ceiling, and that God's not going to forgive you because you can't forgive your brother his trespass against you.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:16, we ought to be thankful for our brothers and sisters. Ephesians 1:16 said, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." You say, "Preacher, I don't like that person too much. How can I keep remembering them being thankful? Just keep praying for them.
Right.
If they're so wrong, pray for them. They need your help.
Amen.
And God will help them. Pray for them. We ought to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of people said, "I don't want to go down to church. It's too many hypocrites down there." Yeah, there's hypocrites at Olmsted. There's hypocrites at every church I've ever been in. And I've been one myself at times, and you have too. But I won't say that though I've had some bumps and knocks and fallen out with the people of God, that the best people I know are still found in the Lord's church. I still love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Though some has left me, some has turned their back on me, I'm glad that when they did, the Lord gave me some more to take their place. I'm just thankful for the people of God. I want to make mention of you in my prayers and bring you to remembrance.
Amen.
He said, do it without ceasing too. He said, cease not to give thanks for you.
Amen.
Are you thankful for your pastor? Let's just start at the top and go right down. There oughtn't to be a member of Olmsted Baptist Church that ain't thankful for Brother Jim. They've been here 2 years this month, and I wonder how many of you even said, "Brother Jim, appreciate you preaching to us for 2 years." Well, I'd be thankful for him. If you got a pastor, now I know it's going to get a little long-faced. That's okay. I'm used to that. That's the way people get when you preach the truth sometime. You don't have to agree with him on everything. But you ask yourself this, does he love me? Does he preach the Word of God? Does he love God? Is he feeding us the Scripture? If he's doing that, what more do you want? Then I asked Brother Jim, does he love the church and thankful for them? And I think he is. See, there's some people that's just going to be easier to get along with than other people. You're going to like them better. But I can honestly say, no longer than I've been here, there's not a one of you in here that I don't love, and I would help you if I could. I might talk to some more than others because we might have more in common, but that has nothing to do with my love for you. He said, love one another and give thanks for each other. I'm telling you, we ought to be closer to the family of God a lot of times than we are our physical family.
Right.
Unless they're saved. We've got a lot more of a kindred spirit with the blood-washed family than we do this physical blood.
Amen.
Most of my family think I'm nuts. They think I'm crazy. They say, you went too far. You just took this religion thing too far. I just wished I'd took it as far as they think I had.
Right.
I wished I lived as good as people thought. And I'm not saying I'm a hypocrite, but we've all got a lot of room for improvement. Every one of us. Me to you to everybody. But let's give thanks. He said, give thanks for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I ought to give thanks for our home and family.
Amen.
How many of you men, I know y'all probably hadn't, but I have, ever took your wife for granted with all she does? It's an amazing thing that happens. I get my clothes dirty, and when I throw them in that hamper, I don't see them again until they come out clean. Well, that's something, ain't it? Come home, the house is clean, kids have been took care of, supper's on the table, meets all my needs. I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful for what we've got.
Amen.
Now, the world looks around and they say, those Christians, you know, Y'all don't have, you're not in with the in crowd, and you're not in with the hip crowd, and I don't want to be in with the hip crowd.
Amen.
That's a bunch of junk. But I'm saying I'm thankful for my family and home. You think about what all the Lord's done for you men and you ladies. He's give you a husband who works and provides. Do you realize how rare these men that are having trouble getting jobs, they're struggling inside. They've even said it in the prayer room. They want to take care of their wives and family. If a man don't want to take care of his wife and kids, he's not much of a man, and he needs to be drug out and somebody beat the devil out of him is what he needs. That ain't much of a man there, Brother Jim.
Yep.
That's exactly right. I don't know how a man could even... I know these go-getters, they'll go-get her. That's a bunch of junk. You need to smack him around. I ain't for domestic violence, but sometimes, I don't know. Our families, though, our families have been a blessing to us. I thank the Lord for my mom and daddy. They took care of me, raised me. Did I do everything right? No, but I ain't either. But they took care of me and provided for me. That's where I heard about the Savior first, was at home. And they've helped me all the way, Brother Mark. We hadn't agreed on everything, but they've been good to me. I thank the Lord for my grandparents that have been good witnesses and good examples to me. Love me and help me down the way. I'm just thankful for that tonight, is what I'm trying to say. Then we ought to be thankful, and I'm hurrying. We ought to be thankful, just be thankful to God just for who He is. Take every blessing out, just thank Him for who He is. Look at Psalms 118 in verse 1. Psalms 118 in verse 1. Now, I was halfway kidding about dragging that guy out, and I said halfway. But y'all know what I'm saying. I don't know. I've seen young girls pull in a guy and said, boy, he's going to be a good husband. I said, well, what does he do for a living? Well, he's in between this and that. And boy, boy, boy. Love is blind, ain't it? Or lust, whatever you want to call it. But we ought to be thankful not for just the blessings, but we ought to be just thankful to God for who He is. Psalms 118 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 50 verse 14. Psalms 50 and verse 14. Says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows. Why? Unto the Most High. Because of who He is. Of who He is, we ought to worship Him. Psalm 69 verse 30. Psalm 69 verse 30. Said, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I just ought to come into the house of God or do it in my public life, in my private life. But we ought to just come in sometime, and as we sing, we ought to have a thanksgiving in our hearts. Say, Lord, I'm not necessarily thanking You for anything in specific, but I just want to praise You because You're the sovereign God of heaven. You are the high and holy One. You are my shield and my buckler. You are my high tower. You are the Lord of glory. That's why we ought to praise Him, just for who He is.
Amen.
Because He's holy and righteous and without end of days. There's no beginning and no ending with God. We ought to worship Him and give thanksgiving. Just thank Him for being who He is.
Amen.
Thank Him for being who He is. Psalms 100, verse 4. Praising Him for who He is. Psalms 100, verse 4. This would be a good way for us to come to church sometime. Might not even get to go to Sunday school. We'd be so much with thanksgiving and praise. I'm for things being done decent and in order, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes the Lord moves and things get shuffled up a little bit.
Yep.
That's right. He's not on our schedule, and we don't have to have a bulletin to have one. You know what I'm saying. So I know some churches, I've heard them preach against a bulletin. And then but you know exactly, they're going to have three songs offering this and that. They've got a bulletin, it's just not on paper. It'd be better if it was, at least you'd kind of could look at it. I mean, it's going to be that way, but I want to praise Him for who He is. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Didn't say for any certain blessing, it just said, enter into His courts with praise. And that's what those of us who are saved and a member of the Olmsted Baptist Church, we ought to do things before we get here. That's why our thanksgiving and our praise is so weak, is we've been feeding on too much of what's out there. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We ought to enter in some Sunday morning or Wednesday night and say, Brother Jim, I just got a song on my heart. We ought to enter into His gates with praise and thanksgiving, just blessing Him for who He is.
Amen. Amen.
You say, I don't know about all that. That's kind of like the Pentecostals. No, no, no. There, the Pentecostals hadn't been around but about 110 years. The Baptist people was praising Him long before they come out of the Methodist Church.
Amen.
Don't let their idiotic stupidity rob you of a blessing of praising your Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Last verse on this one, and we'll move right on. Psalm 147, verse 7. Talking about praising God just for being God. Singing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. We ought to praise Him and be thankful just that He is the sovereign God of heaven. Then we ought to also thank Him for our daily provisions. I'm going to say this, and I'm not bragging one bit, because I know that all good things come from God. But I'm going to tell y'all, and you know it, the last 2 years we've been in a pretty rough shape financially. There's a lot of people in this country who have lost their homes. And you say, well, that's because of their ignorance. Yeah, but they lost them, and I hurt for them. But I want to just thank God that through all this, to my knowledge, I don't know one of God's children that hadn't had all their needs met.
Right.
You just think about what the Lord's done for you through this recession. Yeah, you say, well, it's got kind of tight at my house and couldn't buy gas. Yeah, and the church helped her last week. Every need He has supplied.
Yep.
Through the worst recession since the Great Depression. And somehow, by the grace of God last year, I sold a house, showing it to a guy one time. I sold that house. God sold that house. We got another house built in 3.5 months. Everything fell into place. Switched jobs. Everything was just, I mean, it was falling into place. And everybody was saying, oh, the recession. And I knew others were hurting. But I just want to thank God that He met my needs and my wants during this last 2 years.
Amen.
I didn't have anything to do with it. He did it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 14. Talking about we ought to be thankful for our daily provisions. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5. The Apostle Paul's writing here, and he says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, or an offering, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having what? All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, Paul was telling him here, he said, I was going to have them take an offering up for you that your needs be met. And he said that you may have all sufficiency in all things. I want to say that I'm glad and thankful that the Lord has met every one of my needs. And He's met every need. I've never went to bed hungry. I've never went to bed where I didn't have a bed to lay in. I've never got up where I didn't have a vehicle to drive. I've never got up where I didn't have a job to go to. I mean, I've always been met the provisions that I needed, and more than I needed even. The poorest member to the richest in this church lives better than 90% of the world. It'd do us all good to go on a good mission trip to Africa somewhere, and we'd come back just blessing the Lord. We've got a roof over our head, got shoes on our feet, got food on our table. God provided that. You say, no, my intellect and my good job, that good job could be took to China tomorrow. Every need He has supplied. Not me, but Him. He supplied every need. Every need He supplied. I'll tell you what, we ought to be thankful for it. He supplied all of our needs in Christ Jesus. And the last thing I wrote down to be thankful for is this King James Bible right here.
Amen.
And I do mean the King James Version.
Amen.
Look in Psalm 119. If there's a theme of Psalm 119, it's to magnify the Word. Psalms 119. I just want to read you a few scriptures. You think about where we would be without the Word of God. Number one, we wouldn't be saved. Because we've got to hear the Word of truth to be saved. Now, I've heard some say, well, God gives them light in nature. And I know Romans says some things, but I'm going to tell you. They don't have the gospel, they can't be saved. They don't have the law, they can't be saved. All that's talking about is every man is then responsible. That's all that's talking about. You can't look up there and say, oh, the moon's there and I didn't create it. You're not going to get the point to say, I've sinned and I need a Savior and I want to repent. You're not going to get all that from looking up. If that's the case, why are they making idols and false gods in these jungles in Africa and all these backwoods places? If it's not pointing them to the Savior, they've worshipped something, but it's not the right thing because you got to have the law and the gospel to be saved. But I'm thankful for this Word right here. Where would we be? We would be without hope and without God without the Word. You think about how where we wouldn't even know what to believe or what to look for or how to live or how to do without this Bible. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Psalm 119, let's look in verse 9. Tell you one thing I'm thankful about on this in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. Said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. I'm going to tell you young folks, old folks, and everybody in between how to cleanse our way is to take heed to the Word of God. You cannot be, if you're saved and you're taking heed to that Bible, you will be clean.
Amen.
That's how I know that so many people are not taking heed to the Word that say they're saved by the grace of God is because they live such a dirty, worldly, shabby life. They say, well, I did this and that when I was young and I can't tell my kids not to do it. You ought to be the first one to tell them not to do it. You've got first-hand experience. What's wrong with you? I tell my kids not to drink, do drugs. That's just what I've observed by other people. I never did it myself by the grace of God, not by me. But I'm going to warn them against it. And things I did do, I'm warning them against it too. My goodness, people, wake up. You can't tell your kids just because you did it. My goodness, what are you going to do? Condone everything they do? He said that word, and that's why I'm thankful for the word, Brother Mark, is it cleansed my way. It'll cleanse your way too. Just let the Word of God be like a filter. And what you want to do, just filter it through this blessed old King James Bible. What you want to wear in the morning, filter it through and see if it comes out. What you want to watch and listen to, filter it through here and see if it comes out. Where you want to go and how you want to talk and how you want to live, let it be filtered through the Word and it'll cleanse your way. When's the last time that any of you, the Lord ever moved on you to start cutting some sinful things out of your life and things that you know that you're not doing right? You're not being filtered through the Word and cleansed through the Word. But I rejoice that the Word of God has cleansed my way. It'll cleanse every Christian's way if you apply it. And it'll be a bad road if you don't. Then let's look in verse 11. I'm thankful for the Word of God. He said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. It ought to be hiding the Word of God in your heart. That's why, parents, it's important for us to get the Word of God in these children even before they're saved. Because that Word is there and they hide it in their heart. And when they get saved by the grace of God and temptations come out in this world, I'm telling you young folks down there at school, and I'm not, you know, you get people get mad when you talk about the public school, but it's not a public school, it's a government school. If it was public, we could have prayer up there every morning, have the Ten Commandments on the wall, and tell them if they didn't like it, get out. So it's a government school. But I'm telling you, they'll tell you down there, somebody will come up and say, won't you go out and try this sin with us? Try going out and doing this with us. It won't hurt anything. And if you're saved and hid that Word in your heart, that Word will come forth and the Holy Ghost will tell you through the Word how it's hid in your heart. Don't do it. That's a sin against God. You must hide the Word in your heart that you won't sin against Him.
Amen.
That's why Christians are so worldly. If they are hiding something, it's called the Word. A lot of times it's not even the true Word. We say we believe the King James Version, but a lot of people I know live an NIV lifestyle. How old-fashioned do you really want to be? Some of you might take pride in this old-fashioned way. How old-fashioned are you? and me. How are we? Are we that old-fashioned? I don't know. Moving on, verse 81. Thankful for the Word. Verse 81 of that Psalm. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word. We can hope in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is this Bible sweet to you anymore? If it is, you'll be thankful for it.
Amen.
You say, well, a lot of the Bible's pretty harsh. Well, yeah, it's against this flesh. But it's good for this flesh to be... This flesh will never be beat into subjection outside heeding to this Word. Do you like the taste of honey? Is it sweet to your mouth? Well, how is it this Scripture, the Word of God, is it still like honey to your mouth? Or is it different than it used to be? It's because you're not thankful for the Word. Then verse 105 and 114, and we'll be done with this point, and I'm in conclusion, and I'm done. Psalms 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Then we'll look in Psalms 12 for the last of this one. Psalms 12. I want to talk about, I'm telling you, the Word of God. Psalms 12, verse 6. Said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. Somebody said, do you believe the King James Version is in, or do you believe that they'll say the Word of God is inspired or preserved? And I tell them, I believe both. I believe the Scripture was verbally and inspired by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved on, mostly in the New Testament. The Spirit of God moved on the men. Some of it was verbal in the Old Testament. But I want to say that I believe that all Scripture is inspired by God. Amen. Why would He inspire something if He doesn't preserve it?
Right.
Some people say, well, I believe that the Word of God is inspired as far as the originals. Well, that verse would be a lie then, because He said He's going to preserve it to all generations. There's not a copy of the very original still left.
Right.
So that means if He didn't preserve it, it didn't inspire it and keep it, then we don't have a Bible in our lap.
Right.
Why inspire something, Brother Mark, if you're not going to keep it preserved?
Yep.
That's why I'm thankful for the Word.
Amen.
It's done all those things for me. This Bible here brought me to salvation, the Word in it, through the Spirit. This Word taught me what to look for in a wife. It taught me how to live and how to dress and where to go. It taught me how to manage my money and how to give to the work of the Lord. I tell you what, everything I believe and hold dear, I owe it to the Word of God tonight, and I am thankful for the Word of God.
Amen.
Then in conclusion, those are what we ought to thank for. Now lastly, I want to look at the continuance of our thanksgiving. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. This thanksgiving is not just a November thing for the people of God, but it's a continuous thing that God wants us to do. Hebrews 13 verse 15. I want to look at the continuation of our thanksgiving. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. What? Giving thanks unto His name. The Christian's got a lifelong occupation. You don't get saved. I know a lot of times when people first get saved, that it seems like they're more on fire for the Lord. They've got more zeal. It's a lot like, and you can't deny it, the Bible compares a husband and wife relationship to that of Christ and His church and the believer. It's all through the Bible. And I know a lot of times, you know, when a person first gets married and they're still in the honeymoon phase, they can't get enough of each other. They sit close, hold hands, hug up, open doors and do all that. And we laugh about it, but it's sad. You say it's sad how a marriage can start out with such fervent love and desire for each other, and then they end up going apart and growing apart and growing apart. Well, that can happen in our salvation. We can be saved by the grace of God, but we get cold on the Lord, and our relationship starts to suffer from it.
Yes.
And when time we get down to old age, we're so bitter and sour and mad at the world.
Yes.
I tell you, I told Mike the other day, I said, if I get old as Miss Elsie, that's the kind of old person I want to be. She don't seem a bit mad at the world or bitter about it. And she ain't had a bed of roses like none of us have. Oh yes, we ought to get down to old age, even down to old age, still praising His name.
Amen.
Some of you say, if you've had it rough as I have, and been through all I have, and felt bad as I do, you wouldn't, yeah, but you're just looking at the outward. Look inward for what you have to be thankful for, and every one of us that are saved. I won't say you that here that are not saved, you've got something to be thankful for. You know what? God allows you to hear the word of truth one more time.
Amen.
There's nobody that's ever been born that shouldn't offer thanksgiving to God. But if anybody ought to do it, it ought to be the redeemed.
Amen.
We're the only ones that really know what Thanksgiving's all about. There's an old word I looked up in my Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. It's a word that we don't use much. It's called thank offering. It's a real word. Like Thanksgiving, it's thank offering. And this word means an offering made in acknowledgement of undeserved mercy. And that's what we ought to do in our thanksgiving. He said, offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving continually. That's the Christian's lifelong occupation. You never get too old or too far down the road in grace that you can't thank Him. If you let the doctrine of election rob you of thanking Him, well, what would be, those of us who believe in the doctrine of election ought to be the first ones to jump up and say, thank you, Lord. Because we realize that it was completely nothing we did. It was all of Him. I've had people say the doctrine of election kills joy. I say, well, I've been to churches that don't believe it and those that do, and it ain't much difference on the joy part. But we ought to have some joy and thanksgiving. And it should be continual. The continual thanksgiving. It's just to see when they came and offered the sacrifices in the temple, they offered them continually. They had to keep doing it because it didn't forgive sin. But He said for us to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise continually.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to bring a young bullock or a dove or a goat or a sheep to Olmsted Baptist Church. But He does want everybody that's saved to bring a sacrifice every time we meet. The sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise.
Amen.
Thanks, offering. An offering made in acknowledgement of undeserved mercy. And that's what we do when we offer thanksgiving to Him, because we sure didn't deserve what He's done for us.
Amen.
But I praise Him that He has.